Hello, you're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, the program that visits world events and the issues that affect God's people in these end times.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry News from the Wall and the Issues of Life. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And today I'm going to be joined by my lovely wife, Donna, once again. Donna, I have to say, is coming to you in one piece. So, Donna, why don't you say hi to everyone, and then I'll explain what I mean by that.
Hello, everyone. It's great to be back.
And are you in one piece?
I am in one piece, yes.
Do you have all of your arms and legs?
All of my arms and legs work just fine.
Okay. I'm the one-armed watchman up on the tower coming to you folks with one arm, and the other one still is not well. And last week, it was about a week ago, approximately, Donna, a week to 10 days, I had the cast removed from my left arm that went from my bicep all the way to my hand, and they took it off, and when it came off, the doctor goes, oh, it was too tight on you. And that's what I had been suspecting the entire time because my fingers have been swollen. My thumb has been swollen. And I wasn't able to move them. The mobility was very limited. So when it came off, I was so excited that the movement was going to return. And he said, so we're going to put you in a splint now for another month. And then he left the room. So from the time he cut off the cast, remember that, Donna? So he comes in, cuts it off. Mm-hmm. And then he says, the nurse is going to give you a splint. I'll see you in 4 weeks. And then he was gone.
Yes.
So I asked the nurse, so what does that mean? Why are my fingers swollen? I don't know. And I said, do I move them? Do I exercise them? Maybe not too much. And then she said, okay, bye. And they left. And so we came home and my hand was swollen. So I looked up online and it turns out, I guess, that when your hand has been in a cast for too long, it's going to swell. So I'm supposed to do exercises, and I guess if we had insurance, they would have spent more time with us to explain the physical therapist that they probably have some deal with that I would go to give me exercises so that it would loosen up, but they didn't do that. So I had to look by myself to find out, what do you do from this point on? Because we're flying blind. We don't know. So I look up on YouTube, and I see all kinds of videos on things that I can try. So I've been trying those, but then 3 days went by, and then get this. Since my arm was immobile in a cast for 8 weeks, it was atrophied. By the way, the arm was tiny, wasn't it, Donna? Half the size?
It is tiny. It is shrunk.
So it looks weird because it's real little, the arm part, and then you get to the hand and it's swollen. So it looks like a boxing...
Like Popeye. Like after Popeye ate his spinach, his hand would swell up real big.
To me, it looks like a boxing glove or a giant catcher's mitt or something attached to a wire. So it looks wrong. But 3 or 4 days went by and I was turning myself on the bed and I had excruciating pain and then I couldn't move my shoulder from that point on. The pain was almost as bad as when I broke my back. I didn't understand. So then Donna did some research. And what did you find, Donna, that happened? Or
he has a frozen shoulder. That is one of the technical terms for it is frozen shoulder. And something stretched, was weak, it was weakened by not using it, and then he used it when he turned, and it just froze. He can't do anything with that arm at all. But it takes 6 to 9 months to heal.
If that's what it is, I'm going to the doctor in a few days to confirm that, but everything that we read said that one of the symptoms are you cannot move it, you can't lift your arm or your shoulder outwards, like...
Yeah, it's not a normal rotator cuff injury, which I've had from weightlifting, where, you know, you can use your arm, but it hurts every time you use it. He literally cannot use his arm.
And so now, to immobilize it, I have it in the sling, and then I have a splint at the end of the same arm,
mm-hmm.
and then the hands are swollen. And one of the things when we were doing our research said that if you keep it elevated above your heart, it'll help to not swell, and it'll make the swelling go down. But I can't lift it now because it's stuck.
He can't get it above his heart right now.
So something's going on here in our family where God is allowing me to have a new name, which is Nathan Job Leal, which is what it feels like lately. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic or bitter. I'm actually making a joke. But ladies and gentlemen, say a prayer. It's been now about a week, I guess. And I did find out that ibuprofen helps. That's the only thing that helps, actually.
Which the doctor had told him he shouldn't be taking ibuprofen because it slows the healing of the bones. But nothing touches this pain except for ibuprofen. So I'm giving him all the vitamins and the minerals that were sent to me and ones that I also got at the store. And I am giving him, I'm nagging him every day to eat his vitamins and minerals to help that bone heal in the wrist.
Right. So now with this other thing, I'm just going to endure, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to believe by faith that when my time of whatever God needs to do or is doing is done, he will speed up the healing, and it's not going to be a 6 to 9 month trial. I hope not.
By faith.
By faith. So that's what I'm going through over here. So the pain is the first 2 nights, it took 4 hours to fall asleep because I tried different positions back and forth. I got on the ground. I was on the couch. I was in my chair. I was on the bed.
And that is one of the symptoms of this, that it's a frozen shoulder, is that you can't sleep at night.
It's like there's a bullet in your arm. It's the weirdest. It hurts so bad. And sometimes I just felt like I wanted to cry, but that wouldn't even make the pain go away. So what do you do? So I feel, and once again, you know, Don, I shared in our last program that God has opened my eyes to a lot of the pain that's out there in the body of Christ with ailments, the plagues, the pestilence of living on this planet, living in America that's under judgment, all the pestilence. And I say pestilence because it's full of diseases. So many people are sick. So many people are disabled and they have injuries, back injuries,
right?
Herniated discs, their shoulders, their feet. Why is that though? Has it always been this way that people were in pain like this? I don't know, but it's okay. If God wants me to feel what everyone and, you know, a lot of our listeners are going through, that's okay. Because now I know what it feels like to struggle and to hurt and to cry and to be sad and to wonder and ask God why. And I know all of those things. Folks, I have gone through all of those sessions by myself. Donna goes to sleep and then I'm wondering. I tell her, Donna, I got to go pray. And I go and pray in my prayer closet and I ask God what's going on, why. And he comforts me. The sadness, by the way, side note, Donna, I said sadness. The despair and the frustration and vexation. There's a lot of things that go along with this, with pain. It'll make the person really despair. And if that's the other thing I have to know, because other people are going through that, then that's okay too. And I guess maybe God wants me to go through this so that I can find some remedies that I can share. Because when you're despairing, you know, when our listeners are out there and they listen to our program or other programs or they go to church, but they're the silent victims of this pestilence and this plague because they're in pain. They go to church and they sit on the pew in pain. They don't tell anyone. They're used to it. They just learn to manage it and try not to let it ail them, but they walk slow or they favor a certain part of their body because it hurts. And their family members say, how are you doing? And if they say it hurts or whatever, it becomes a common answer where people then become insensitive and then they feel like they're alone. And then they get despairing and sad and depressed. And then they start asking questions of their worth. Why am I here? Why do I have to go through this? There's a lot of things that will go through your mind when you're in massive pain. And Donna, you know this yourself. You have your issues in your ovaries. You have cysts that you get.
And and middle smerts, yes.
And you know the pain too, right?
I've endured pain since I was 21. Twice a month, not just once a month. Twice a month, bedridden pain.
And that's from cysts that would...
It's from cysts, and I have what's called a painful ovulation.
Yeah, so, you know, that's one of the things that's not talked about from pulpits. You know, the pastor will get up from pulpits and tell everyone to have faith or believe for your finances, believe for your relatives to get saved. But they don't really talk much about the people in pain, people that are sick, Donna, that are struggling, that are sad, that are despairing.
It's not church PC to actually be in pain and be sick because that's not considered walking in victory, but... You know, sometimes on this fallen earth, we don't get to walk in physical victory. Sometimes we do. Sometimes the Lord will touch us and give us healing. Other times he'll let us endure it. But he's with us either way.
He is with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering how I'm doing, the cast came off, but my fingers are swollen. And I went to some forums of people that share their ailments. There's health forums out there and injury forums. And people would... talk about my cast came off, but I can't move my fingers. How long is this going to last? And then people would chime in and say, you're going to be like this for 2 months, 4 months, 6 months, 1 year. It took me a year of therapy. It took me 2 years, half a year. So it's all over the map. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking that it was the cast was going to come off and I was going to be back to normal the next day playing the piano.
Me too. I thought it was... Well, I was thrilled the cast was coming off. I thought, oh yay, he's going to feel so much better.
But I'm 55 and it wasn't the same as when my cast came off when I was 12. It was my right hand when I was 12. And it was a hairline fracture and in 6 weeks it came off and I was out on the monkey bars the next day. But that's the difference between youth and being older, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you out there that are in pain and you're suffering, I just want to say that I feel for you. And many of you sent emails and letters and told me of your plights. And you sent hard copy letters also, Donna. We got a lot of wonderful letters from people that were sharing their situation. Some of them said that they have learned to deal with it and they have victory, but... Most of them did not say they had victory. They just said they try to manage it and maintain it and endure it.
Right.
Just by faith. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for sharing. It really shows the condition of just how hard it is to live on this planet. This world has fallen. This earth has fallen. You see those rich people down in Hollywood, they're trying to fight the curse, which is, if you eat of this fruit,
you will surely die.
You will surely die. I saw a picture. I don't remember where it was. But I saw a picture of Al Pacino. Remember him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did actor? The Godfather movies.
Was he in Godfather? I never saw Godfather.
I thought he was. I thought that's what made him famous.
He was in Dog Day Afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Remember that one?
Where he robs a bank.
Yeah, right? And okay. I saw that when I was a teenager. And he goes out and starts screaming, Attica! Remember that? Attica, Attica! And he throws money to the crowd. And
I remember him pacing in front of a bank. That's all I remember.
Okay, well that's when he was young. And then I saw him recently, and he looks, and I use this term with Donna often, but he looks like it. And Donna, what is that term that I use?
He looks like a melted candle.
And I notice, like Mel Gibson, too.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome Mel Gibson 30 years ago, right? He was, those stars get famous because their looks are beautiful, or they're handsome, or they're pretty.
Mm-hmm.
They were blessed with good looks. But I see them now, and... No matter how rich they are, no matter how many hundreds of millions of dollars they have.
They still age, yeah.
They age, and they can't stop it. And that's because we live on this world, and it's fallen. And it doesn't matter how rich a person is, and how much Botox they try to use to inject in their face.
How much young blood you infuse into your body.
We're not going to stop the curse. Mm-mm. 70, and then maybe, if you're strong, 80 years. But that's pretty much it, 70 years to 80 years, and God turned the clock backwards, and he programmed our DNA to wither and slowly start depleting. You know, we hit our peak between 20 and 25, I've heard. They say that's the strongest,
right?
That's when you're at your best, and we know that.
Yes, and your human growth hormone drops off after that, and you can take all the human growth hormone supplements you want, you're not going to stop the aging.
Because God programmed into our DNA because of the fall of man. That's our plight, ladies and gentlemen. So as our bodies start withering and deteriorating, the tendons get weaker, the muscles get weaker, the bones deteriorate, the bones wither.
Your skin gets thinner.
Your skin, it starts to hang. There's wrinkles.
Mm-hmm. You smile. You don't have the fat pads on your knees. So I used to scrub the floors on my knees. I can't do that anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, how many of you remember the first time you saw a photo that someone took of you? And I think this happens to everyone, Donna, if they're old enough. And they see the photos on the computer or the camera. Now everything's digitized. But they see it and they say, look at my eyes. I have crow's feet. What's going... I remember when you first noticed yours, Donna. You said, what? You were sad.
Yeah, I was.
It made you. This sad. Is years ago, right? But you were sad and I go, nah, they're not so bad because I can't tell. And I can't. Yours look fine. You're beautiful, Donna.
No,
but,
thank you.
But you noticed them.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, right? And how does that hit a person? It's like, what did that come from? I'm going to get old? From youth, there's the middle ages in the 30s where the thought is, am I going to get old? And you wonder, but you don't believe it.
You still think you can fight it in your 30s.
Yeah, I don't believe it. It happened to the neighbor and to my friend and my dad and my uncle and all them people, but they didn't have the secret that I have. I am in this multi-level marketing group, and they have their secret sauce. Yeah. It's the magic lotion imported from down in those mountains.
Some special melon from the Himalayan sea salt beds of...
The Incas invented it and it was held secret. There's a thought that you can put it off, but then reality hits a few years go by and it hits when the children are older.
Yeah.
My son finally, Donna.
Yes.
And this happened right before I broke my arm. My son, my 18-year-old son, beat me in arm wrestling.
He did, yes.
I'm 55. He finally beat me, but he has a construction job. He works out with weights, and I was able to hold him off for a long time.
Mm-hmm. He loves to work out, so.
Yeah, he's 18 now. Very handsome young man. So I was proud, though, Donnie. If this happened to me in my 30s, I would have said, no way. I can't have this. But now I'm proud because he's my legacy and he'll continue our family line and our legacy and all that, right?
Well, I got frustrated today. I went out to take a chunk of wood and turn into kindling, and I could not get through that thing. And I've made kindling for years, and my son heard me out there.
You were karate chopping it?
With an axe.
Oh, with an axe.
And I couldn't get through it. So he heard me wrestling with the axe to get it out of the wood, and he came out and he did 2 hits and it was done.
He went right through
and
it.
I said, I'm so mad. And he said, why are you mad? I said, because I'm old. And he laughed. But that's what it is. It's like the things that you took for granted that were easy to do are no longer easy.
They're not. So ladies and gentlemen, aging and the things that accompany aging, which are usually ailments and sickness and a struggling body and things that show up, or injuries too. Mine was an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Donna, you never know when your life is going to change and turn on a dime. One day you're at the top of the world at the picnic having a barbecue with friends and family, and then the next day you slip on a flight of stairs. My son works at Home Depot, and he came home. I like to have him debriefed, you know, just to share his day. So I sit on the couch or the table and I ask him, son, how did it go today? And he'll tell me the things that happened. And I don't know what brought it up, but he said, Dad, did you know that we had a death in our store from an employee dying?
A year ago.
And I said, whoa, how did that happen? And he said, they have those rolling orange stairs that they roll around in the lumber area to climb up to get to the higher shelves. And he said an employee, by the way, he said, Dad, there's policy for everything we do. We have to have a spotter and someone there always. But there was a lady employee who rolled that stair to some item, and she didn't have a spotter. She went up the stairs, and she was setting these boxes on the stairs. I guess she was taking a few of them down, and she was setting them on the stairs.
Which is against policy.
Yeah, halfway down, she set them on the stairs, and I guess she was going to then come down. So she took the boxes, and there was several, and then she was done with that. So it's time to walk down the stairs and do whatever.
She had one box in her arm, and there were several on the stairs.
So she's walking. She hits the halfway point of those stairs and stepped on one of the boxes.
And tripped over it.
Tripped over it. Plowed headlong, head first, and landed on the concrete and died. I guess she broke her neck or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Or had a head trauma. He didn't say. She face planted and died. And it's like, that's what happens in life, Donnie. Think about it. She had breakfast with her family and maybe hugged her kids goodbye, or maybe she didn't have kids, hugged her cat. But she woke up and had breakfast and drove to work like it was a normal routine day. And who knew? How could she know that in her shift, it wasn't going to be terrorists or bank robbers or lightning or a car wreck. She was going to slip on a box that mm-hmm. she set in front of her and it killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Donna, our bodies are frail. So count your blessings, right?
Yeah.
You know, I shared on an article that I put out a few days after my injury, count your blessings because it could have been worse. But aside from that, just count your blessings for the good times that are here. Every day that you wake up where there's no drama mm-hmm. or emergency is a blessing.
Yeah, a boring day is a blessing.
A boring day. When your kids come home from school, you hug them, you pray for them, and they go to school, and when they come home, that's a blessing.
Yeah.
It might seem routine and boring, but that is the parts that we give thanks and praise to God. And ladies and gentlemen, I just want to remind all of you, for the routine boring, if some of you say, I'm on top of the mountain, Nathan, you are describing Job's life, and I don't know what's wrong with you, Nathan. I don't know why you're going through this, but it's not happening to me. And if that is you, my friend, count your blessings and give glory to God. Pray to Him and thank Him for protecting your family and for allowing you to be in this season of sunshine. Because the truth of the matter is, as the watchman said in Isaiah, there will be days of darkness. And Ecclesiastes says that there will be days of darkness. It also tells us there's a time for everything. There's a time to dance and a time to weep, time to laugh and cry. So there's good and bad. So for those of you that are in the season of rain, and for those of you who are in a season of personal winter, it's dreary in your life, You're being met by challenge and trials and struggles. My friends, God knows all about it. He loves you. He loves them, Donna. Because when they were born, on the day they were born, He knew that they were going to turn to Him one day and get saved.
Yes.
God knew. He had their name ready to be inscribed in His book. And then they turned to Him and they repented. And then they lived their life. And hopefully they live a life of blessing. And they will endure some trials. But then at some point, it's going to be their turn to call them home. And for some reason, the journey, when you get toward the end of the journey, when it gets closer and closer to get home, the road has a lot of potholes, doesn't it? And waffle board, yeah. And it's bumpy. There are tears in the road.
There are, yes.
Why is that?
Because we live in a fallen world.
We live in a fallen world. So part of the journey, you know, if we had a timeline, if we could draw a line from the left to the right, and the beginning part of the line is our youth, and then we get saved at some point, and then we're middle-aged, you know, we're top of the world, just got married, having kids, bought a house, job promotion, you know, in the 30s, socking away money in the retirement account, then you get into your 40s, and then in your 50s you get laid off.
Yeah.
Then 5 years goes by and you throw your back out, and then another few years you need surgery, and then you're in your 60s with pain and struggle and mental challenges, the challenges of faith and the challenges to endure in the later years, and then you're called home. I think that's the way it's mapped out. Now, some people might say, Nathan, that's for losers, because in my book, if you look at me, first of all, look at me, and look at me without a shirt on. I'm 67 years old, and look at my pecs. Look at this bicep. I work out. I'm strong, and all these losers that get sick and weak, that's because they just have weak blood or weak DNA, or they're not blessed. They don't have enough faith. The devil's getting them because the people are just losers, but I'm not. You know, there's a few of those. And then maybe there's a few others that for some reason, they just don't get sick.
Everybody has a trial, just not everybody's trial is physical.
Right. But a lot of people, I would say the majority, do have, you know, that age, the older years, mm-hmm. The golden years, are golden, and you're wiser, and you have white hair, but your body hurts. So Nathan, you're depressing me. Why are you saying all this? This is why I'm saying it, folks. Because I think that God is allowing me to experience all this so that I can talk about it to build your faith and to let you know that you're not alone and to let you know that you matter and you count. And even though you may feel sick or invalid or not as strong as you used to be or limited and you wonder what your calling is, you wonder what your position is, you wonder why you're still here, you wonder, God, why do you still have me here? I'm not doing anything for you. There's a reason. And every person that's a Christian that belongs to God can be doing something, Donna. Every one of them. You know, my mother, she's in her 70s now, has a lot of ailments, but her gift is intercessory prayer. So she can't go to the orphanage or the nursing home or hand out food. She can't, but right. She can pray. She knows how to pray.
And she does.
And she does. So that's one thing that people can do when they feel limited. They can be an intercessor. And if some people are able to get around, then there are things that they can do too. If they are not feeling useful, there's a lot of things, Donna, that maybe God's people need to be doing that they're not. Maybe volunteering, visiting sick people, visiting
the old folks' homes. They love to have people come visit them, read to them, just talk to them, share a cup of coffee. You know, there's so many people, young people, especially in prison for stupid things, you know, that they probably could have been better rehabilitated for, but they're not. They're just sitting in prison, and they're lonely, and they're distraught, and they need Jesus too.
You know, I think sometimes, Donna, people or Christians limit our calling or the works that we can do. And I'm not saying salvation by works. I'm just saying things we can do to help out the kingdom of God. And I think a lot of times people limit it to handing out tracts in downtown, you know, sharing the gospel. And if you're not sharing the gospel, then you're not doing spiritual things. But what did Jesus say in the parable of the sheep and the goats? Did he say, I was in prison and you didn't come hand me a tract? He didn't say that in the sheep and the goats, did he? He said, I was in prison.
And you didn't visit me.
And you didn't visit me. I was sick. Again, you didn't come witness to me? He didn't say that.
No. Sometimes people just need a visit. That's all they need. And some love.
They need to know their love. So, you know, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but I know that no matter what we go through and when we have pain, it says in the Bible, the comfort that God gave to us, we need to share it with others. So In the times, a few nights ago when I was feeling very sad, I was. Now, remember you went to bed and I said, I have to go pray. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
By the way, I used to, and this was the other thing that I was sad about. I came in here into my office, and when I wanted to have times with God in my devotionals, I would get my guitar and just start strumming the old songs that I grew up with. And I love the older stuff. You know those songs that I play, Donna?
Yeah.
The old Maranatha.
Created Me a Clean Heart.
Jesus' Name Above All Names. I Love You, Lord, and I Lift My Voice. The old ones.
When I Look Into Your Holiness.
Yeah. But I can't play the guitar now. My hand doesn't work. And I have my keyboard, and sometimes I would do that. I couldn't do that either. So I got on my computer and played some of my old worship music, just let it play on the speaker. And then I started praying, and I said, God, I do not get it. I don't know what's going on, but I know that you have it in control. I know it's going to be okay. Just give me strength. And that's all I wanted. I just needed strength. A lot of people say, go pray for healing. Well, I'll take the healing, but in the meantime, while I'm waiting for healing, you can get pretty bummed out.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our listeners out there, while they're waiting for their moment and their miracle, they get bummed out and they get sad. And then the enemy will come in. And this is the other thing. Folks, I have dissected and I've tried to make note of how this thing plays out and how the enemy attacks. Because I noticed in times when, after my shoulder froze up, I could feel the attacks of the enemy, Donna, the whispers from the devil or his imps. And he'll lie to you.
I heard him too.
You heard him too? What did you hear him say?
This is just how it is from here on out. It's not going to get better. This is your life. No talk of God's going to get me through this. I wasn't hearing that. I was hearing the enemy.
Was it negative?
Yes, it was negative.
Did he insult you?
Did he insult me?
Or make fun of you? Or
he just added to my despair. He just, you know, it's never going to improve. This is how it is.
So what did I do? I came down and I opened the scriptures and I prayed. I cried out to God. David went through this often, and so did some of the other psalmists, but David especially. He cried out to God when he was weak, when he was sick, when he didn't have anywhere to turn. He turned to God. And that's the other thing. That's the most important thing that I have to share with you, ladies and gentlemen. When you are feeling despair, there's only one place to turn, and that is to God. Well, what does that do, Nathan? Just whine to God? Well, here's the deal, though. When I come into my prayer closet and I pray, and when I told you, Donna, I have to pray, it's not just to go pray. It's to pray through. It's to get an answer. It's to get to Him. That's also the key. It's not just praying and then being done. If you have despair in your heart, is in a knot, and the pressures are weighing you down, and the weights are there, and the voices are cackling, and the shadows won't go away, and whatever the attacks of oppression are, the strategy needs to be to pray until those things are gone. Not just pray and say, God, help me to feel better. And an hour and a half later, I felt better. And it was amazing. It was like it lifted. And Donna, we've experienced this. When you get sad and depression tries to come to you, because it hits everybody, right?
Yes.
I often believe, and I know you're a female, and sometimes it's hormonal, or you're tired, or it's chemical, and it's not a demon. I know that. But
sometimes it is.
Sometimes it's oppression coming, and that's what they do.
Well, and he comes when I'm weak, when I'm dealing with my hormones, and when I'm dealing with physical pain from middle smurts or from, you know, periods and that kind of thing. That's when he comes, and he starts whispering dark things into your ears.
Okay, and then I, of course, can tell your mood's changed, what's wrong with Mom, and we'll try different things. I try to make sure you're okay or talk to you, or sometimes I just leave you alone.
Run, hide.
Kids, run. Mom's on the move. No, I'm kidding. But depending on what I'm feeling with prompting, because sometimes you just need encouraging, or sometimes it's me that hurt. I said something curt to you or blunt, and it hurt your feelings, and I didn't know it did, and you won't tell me, but that's what's bothering you, so then I have to get it out of you, and then I have to repent to you, right?
Yes.
But I have to first probe and get it out of you, because you say, I don't want to complain, I don't want to nag, I don't want to, and so you tell me you don't want to, but then I make you tell me, and then I repent. So it wasn't a demon, it was something I said.
Sometimes it is, yes.
With the wrong, I didn't use grace when I talked to you. Then I have to repent and do what husbands are supposed to do, apologize. Husbands, when
cuddle
you're,
me.
And cuddle you and hold you, yes. Husband, sometimes we say things blunt because we're logical and, you know, they'll ask us a question and we'll answer. Matter of fact, but that's not what they wanted to hear, so their feelings are hurt. And it could be that slightest thing or something innocuous or something that we didn't think would matter. How do I look in this dress? I don't know. I like the other one better. And then you leave the room and then they cry.
Sit down on the closet floor and just sob. Yeah.
But, and then we come back. I come back and she's sobbing. I go, what did I do? What happened? Nothing. What's wrong? Nothing. What is it? I'm having a hard day. What is it? I can't tell you. What is it? And then.
You think I'm ugly. And he's like, where'd you get that?
What? Or you'll say, you called me ugly. Right now? You'll,
yeah.
And then I'll.
Because that's what I heard.
I'll try to remember. What? When did I say that? And then I probe and no, it wasn't then. Was it this? No. Was it this? No. Was it when you asked me about the dress? Yes. And then I'm thinking, hold on a second. I didn't say you were ugly. You said it didn't look as, it was, you, yeah, you did. And so when I said it doesn't look as good, that means in girl speak.
I'm just ugly. I'm unattractive and ugly. That's what it means.
So it's not always Satan. And I know that. Sometimes it's just human relationship. Or it's a circumstance or something going on.
Right.
But sometimes it is the enemy. And sometimes he will take those circumstances and try to magnify them, won't he? I've noticed this with Donna. And Donna, is that okay I'm sharing this?
Yes, I think
You know what I'm going to say.
Yes.
I notice, we've been married 27 years, the way that the enemy attacks Donna is he'll try to, when he can, strike her with mental vexation where she feels depressed and sad.
And worthless.
And worthless. And I can feel it on her. And so I can't always identify exactly what it is, but I can feel, and it feels like there's an actual cloud of darkness just following her. Remember that Peanuts character? The dirt?
That's actually what it feels like. It's like there's a cloud sitting over your head and the light's not getting through.
And I can feel it in the spirit. So I ask her, Donna, can I pray for you? So I then rebuke that spirit from oppressing her and I command it to leave her alone. And it will be a not now I lay me down to sleep intensity or saying grace at the table. This is more warfare. I'm mad. Get your hands off my wife, you foul spirit. So I pray with authority. And it doesn't take much, does it, Donna? Maybe a 1 minute, 2 minute prayer?
No. It takes one good prayer from my husband and boom, it's gone.
But it leaves, right?
And it leaves.
You told me it's like your eyes can see.
Brighter. It's brighter.
Because it was dark before and just weighing you down. But that's what he does. That's what the powers of darkness will do. They will attack you. They will attack your loved ones, and they will come along, and if you're sick, and I'm getting back to that, if you have an ailment or a sickness or pain, oh man, pain seems to make it easier for those despairing feelings to come.
Oh yeah.
Because it's hard, especially if the pain doesn't go away, because you feel helpless.
Yeah.
So I was feeling that way, and I didn't tell you, Donna, but I knew that the remedy for despair, and ladies and gentlemen, if you can remember anything from this program, remember this. The remedy for despair is getting along with God and praying. You have to have the determination that you're not leaving the prayer closet until he shows up and the enemy is gone. Because what good does it do? Donna, it's like this. A few months ago, our little Pomeranian got skunked.
Yes, she did.
Right?
Yes. She trapped one underneath the hen house and stood right behind it while it sprayed her.
It was strong. So the chicken coop several hundred yards from my house, I smelled it when he sprayed. And I said, uh-oh.
I got a plastic bin and I made the mixture that's on the internet with peroxide and vinegar and baking soda. And I filled that bin up with water and I dunked her in it.
80 to 90% was gone.
Yeah.
It took care of it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So if someone is in despair, I'm using this as an illustration. Folks, whenever you are feeling oppressed and the enemy is attacking you with despair, and you're sad, or it's a loved one, the way to fix it is to use the tools that God gives us as children of Jesus, and that tool is we can call out to him. Call unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said that. He didn't say, I'll think about it. He said, come unto me, all of you who are weary. That's the despair people, don't it?
Yes.
You're sad, you're crying, you don't have an answer, and I will give you rest. So that means to come to him, we need to journey in the prayer closet toward the throne. And it says in the scriptures, come boldly before the throne of grace. Now we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, our mediator. Through Jesus, we can come to the throne of grace. So when we come into the prayer closet and we call out to him, We don't go into the prayer closet and say, Jesus, I'm full of despair. Please take it away. Thank you. Amen. And you leave the prayer closet before he shows up, because doing that is equal to the dog got sprayed with the skunk and you spray him with the water hose and the skunk is still on there and you say, okay, I did it.
Right. And the smell is still there. I didn't do everything I could.
It takes a little longer for skunk, right, Donna? It's not a regular dog bath.
No.
In 30 seconds or a minute.
It's not like just getting the mud off her feet.
In fact, you did it twice.
I did do it twice, yes.
Because you brought the dog to me and I said, it's still in it around the ear and the head.
So I dumped out the water and started over, yes.
So you were at it for how long?
About an hour.
Okay. For someone having despair, it's not a 5-minute remedy, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting alone with God and getting the tools, the water hose, and you got to plug it in and whatever, the concoction on it to take the slime off.
Yeah, you get your music, vinegar, you get your Bible, baking soda, you get on your knees, you have your peroxide, and you bow before his throne and you call out and you weep and you travail before him.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are in a lot of pain, and I'm sure many of you have already done this, you adapted. Because you will do it. If you're a child of God, you will adapt and figure this out. Mm-hmm. You will. That's what God's after. Some people, they'll go through their whole Christian life, Donna, and they go to church, but they never really learn how to spend time with Jesus. But they are Christians. They'll live their life, and they really never figure out how to do that skunk treatment. They don't know. They don't learn how to pray. So then when they get up in years, ailments show up, but they don't know what to do because they haven't practiced. But in God's eyes, that's okay too, because God can teach. The Holy Spirit can teach us how. Even though people don't do it when they should, in the older years, so we get sick and there's ailments, we can learn to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, if some of you listening are prayer experts, you're prayer warriors, you could write books on it, you could teach a conference on it because you've done it. You know all the parts of it and the elements and the particulars of what goes in to Holy Ghost intercessory prayer, or how to pray through. I love that term, pray through, Donna.
Yeah.
That's what we need to learn. The church needs to get back to how to pray through. And I'm not talking about the weird stuff that we see now, the kundalini.
It doesn't have to be demonstrative.
No, I'm talking about praying through. When you read the Psalms, many times David starts out, he's despairing, he's hurting, he's scared, he needs an answer. He begins the Psalm with his problem. And then he talks about crying out to God. He repents, and then he starts giving God praise. And by the end of the psalm, he's glorifying God, thanking him. It's a regular pattern we see with David, and that's what praying through is. So I did it too when I came down, and I said, God, I don't know what's going on. Show me, cleanse me. And I went through all of that. And then I felt better. He showed up, the Holy Spirit came, and it was so comforting. It lifted, Nana. The cloud of despair lifted. I know this. And I'm going to say it just like Job did. I know no matter what happens that my Redeemer liveth. He's there. No matter what you're going through, ladies and gentlemen, your Redeemer liveth. And he'll be there for you. So whether you are an expert prayer warrior, I say this to remind you. Maybe you need reminding. Or maybe to encourage you. For the others out there who maybe they're not expert prayer folks.
But they have pain,
and they have a voice, and they're that little child, and God's going to hear. But it takes us to cry out to him. We have to spend the time to do it. Because Jesus, his loving kindness is new every morning. Every morning, no matter what. You know, Donna, there are some people who are in despair, and they consider themselves Christians, but they're disappointed with themselves. Because they've struggled, and maybe they don't have victory in some things. So they're living in condemnation or in defeat because the enemy will come in and say things to them.
Other Christians will too. They'll say, well, you're not healed because you don't have enough faith. Or, you know, God can heal you. You know, you should be thanking God for the healing, not complaining about the pain. You know, I've heard it all.
Job's comforters.
Yeah.
So they've heard it or whatever it is.
Yes.
So some of them are living in condemnation, but ladies and gentlemen, I know this. For those of you that are parents, and now your kids are grown up, or maybe they're still around, you know that your child could be the most challenging rascal and done the most foolish thing that angered you, and maybe even you punished them for it. And so they're away from you, or they're in the room, sad, because they disappointed you and they did what they were not supposed to do. So they sinned against the house. But that child, if they came after they've been in the room for a while and they come to you as a parent with tears saying they're sorry, what is a good parent going to do, Donna? If when you love your child, you're going to take them?
You're going to take them in your arms and hug them and forgive them.
And forgive them. So ladies and gentlemen, if you are feeling condemned and you're thinking that you deserve what you're going through because the devil's convinced you of that, or maybe possibly it did happen with an error, not the good judgment, Donna. Mm-hmm. Maybe they drank one too many, drove home, had a wreck, and now they have pins in their leg.
Right.
So they're living in condemnation. That person can still be comforted by God.
Yes, God still loves you. If your child does something stupid, they steal the neighbor's bike and they go crash it, you're not going to not love them. You're going to love on them even so. You're going to tell them they did wrong, but love them. God's just like that. He loves us.
He loves us. So for those people out there in condemnation, Donna, and they want to get comfort, but they don't feel like they're worthy of it, that's the thing. We're not worthy, but we're His children, ladies and gentlemen. And it says in the Word that He is the glory and the lifter of our head. The glory and the lifter of our head. You know what that means? A parent knows what that means. That means that when you're looking down because you feel so bad that you've done it one too many times or you've failed one too many times and you're crying to God, you know that parable, Donna, of the man next to the Pharisee, and he couldn't even look up to heaven.
Yeah.
All he could do is look down. But the Pharisee was looking up. But Jesus said, which one was forgiven? The repentant one, right? And how does He forgive? It says, He's the glory. He comes to you and He puts His finger under your chin and He lifts your chin and He looks into your eyes and says, I love you. I forgive you. It's going to be okay. He lifts our head. It's a beautiful worship song, Donna.
It is.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in despair, if you're sad, if you're going through trials, some of you might not know why. Some of you might have maybe work through it, or you're trying to figure it out. Wherever you are, while we're going through those moments, those are the times where we need the strength of God. Our assignment is to find His comfort. Know that He's watching. Know this, folks. It's a controlled trial that you're going through. Jesus is there. He knows what you're going through, and He's not going to abandon you. He said, I will never, ever leave you
or forsake you.
That means I won't backstab you. That means I won't turn on you like friends do. It means I won't walk away from you and whisper behind your back. I will never forsake you. The world would do that. People will do that. Friends will, or ex-friends will do that. Family members will do that. They'll forsake and betray, but Jesus will never, ever do that. Never, because He loves you. So wherever you are right now, I just want to send you this word of encouragement to look to God. Because in the days ahead, and I've spent a lot of time on this, Donna, and I'm going to be talking a lot about this in the future, because what I'm walking through, I want to... Donna's getting weepy. She had to get some clean. Why are you getting weepy, Donna?
Because when we talk about God and His mercies, the Lord is beautiful.
Amen. And how thankful and how privileged we are to have a God that cares about us, even though we are made of dust and... We do silly things, don't we? We do things that disappoint Him. We're not always our best, but we have a God that no matter what happens, He is our Redeemer. As I said earlier, our Redeemer liveth, and He does, and He can redeem us, and He can take care of us, and He can love us no matter what.
Amen.
Well, folks, I just wanted to share this topic with you. You know, our program's called News from the Wall and the Issues of Life, and it's a pretty big issue when we're facing trauma in our lives and upheaval because of health problems or just any problems. It's an issue where we need to find victory. It's not always about searching out the end time clues and figuring out the puzzle of the end times. It's also about enduring personally with our faith and our relationship with Jesus. So that's why I just wanted to talk to the folks about it. And if anyone wants to write and share their stories, you're free to do that, ladies and gentlemen. We love hearing your accounts and your stories and things that you've gone through. We read them. Donna reads them. And it makes us feel close to them, doesn't it, Donna? You read every one of those?
It helps me to understand better where we need to be going with our ministry.
Yes, amen. So, friends, I know this was a shorter program,
But it's a message that's important to share with you, and I believe that God's going to use it to encourage you, and I pray that He does. I want to also ask that you please share this with your friends and family members for people who haven't heard our message here at Watchman's Cry. Share it with them, and let's just make the Watchman's Cry family grow with more believers and more of God's elect, and as we come together enduring the end times and walking and navigating to the end times. If you appreciate what we're doing here at Watchman's Cry, we appreciate and we count on your support. We appreciate it, don't we, Donna?
We do. We appreciate it very much. That's how we are able to do what we do.
Those of you that do appreciate it, our address is Watchman's Cry. That's M-A-N-S, Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. Donna, before we go, I want to just say a prayer for the folks out there that may be struggling and those that are hurting. Can we do that?
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of our listeners. We thank you for the precious souls that are out there. Lord, there are so many people out there that understand the struggle of life and understand the pain and heartache and the discouragement and the things that can happen that can change our lives and turn our lives around on a dime and bring nighttime and rain and winter into our personal life. Lord, there are so many people out there that are hurting in their bodies. There's a lot of people hurting, God. There's a lot of people that, even though they go to church and they want to show strength, inside they're crying and they're weeping, and at night they cry and weep because, Lord, it's a hard journey. And we just ask you, Lord, to hear and see those hearts, God. Hear their voices, hear their prayers, hear their cries, and have mercy on them. Reach down to them even right now and touch them and minister to them and let them know that you love them, God, and that you are the glory and the lifter of their head.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask right now that you would look down on your children, that you would have mercy on them, that you would touch them where they hurt, and that you would bring a balm of healing to their bodies and to their hearts. And we just trust you for this because we know that with you all things are possible. And Lord, I just thank you for this touch that you're bringing your people right now, Father. Thank you so much.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, we thank you for being there. Thank you for listening. And just remember, folks, He is the glory and the lifter of our head.
She